I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. Today, President Bush marked Israel's 60th anniversary with a speech before the Israeli parliament. Mr. Bush reaffirmed American support for Israel. He also dismissed those who, quote, believe we should negotiate with terrorists and radicals. Mr. Bush said that that approach amounts to appeasement. Those remarks were interpreted back home in the U.S. as a dig at Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama, who has proposed talking to Iran. Earlier in the speech, President Bush recalled that the United States, under President Harry Truman, was the first country to recognize the new Jewish state back in 1948. Former U.N. Ambassador Richard Holbrooke says Harry Truman made the move despite adamant opposition from his top foreign policy advisors.
The entire American foreign policy establishment, the great wise men, all opposed recognizing the new Jewish state. By the way, it didn't have a name then. They didn't even know what it was going to be called. George Marshall, Dean Acheson, James Forrestal, Dean Rusk, Charles Bolin, all the people celebrated for the great Cold War policy said, don't recognize the Jewish state, don't recognize Israel. And Truman decided he wanted to overrule them, and he finally did, but it was a very dramatic battle, and it went right down to the wire.
What was the mentality in the United States at the time that allowed all those people at the forefront of American foreign policy to say, do not recognize this state, which eventually became Israel?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I've asked a lot of the survivors when I interviewed them for a book I wrote 20 years ago whether anti-Semitism was a factor. Some people said, yes, it was. Others said, no, it wasn't. But Forrestal, the Secretary of Defense, put it most bluntly. He said, you know, there are 30 million Arabs and there's 600,000 Jews and there's oil, and this is going to be trouble forever. It's just not in our interests. The American public, however, was intensely sympathetic to the Jewish cause because they were learning for the first time about what had happened in the concentration camps.
I think also here it's interesting to note who Truman was listening to.
Well, there were three people who'd made a big impression on him. One was Eddie Jacobson, his haberdasher partner from Kansas City, who was Jewish. He had come into Truman's office through the back door and said to Truman, who's your greatest hero? And Truman had said, Abraham Lincoln. And Jacobson had said, mine is Chaim Weizmann. Weizmann was about to become the first president of Israel, and I want you to see him privately. And Weizmann came in and made a very eloquent plea to Truman, and Truman promised Weizmann they would recognize Israel. The other one was this young naval age, Clark Clifford, whose memoirs I co-authored, and that's when I did the research on all this. George Marshall was the man that Truman had said was the greatest living American. Marshall sat in Truman's office a week before this and said to Truman, if you recognize this Jewish state, and if I vote in the November elections, I would vote against you. It was the most blatant frontal threat to a president I think ever recorded or uttered in the Oval Office.
What about the evolution, then, of this relationship between the United States, which did, under Harry Truman, recognize Israel, the relationship between the U.S. and Israel now?
Well, over the 60 years since May 15, 1948, the relationship has gone through many complicated ups and downs. The State Department didn't give up fighting after recognition. They joined arms embargoes. They did all sorts of things to make life more difficult for Israel. But gradually, things reached their current situation.
Do you want to place President Bush in that assessment?
President Bush says that he's Israel's best friend. And he's made that a big political issue for himself. But I think he has not always served Israel's interests, most notably in 2006, when he and Secretary of State Rice pushed extremely hard to have Hamas participate in the Palestinian elections. Bush and Rice just blundered onward, made one of the great historic mistakes ever. And as a result, there's no longer a single Palestinian authority anymore. There are really two.
This leaves the next president, whoever it might be, where? And we should say that you have come out in support of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I've been supporting Hillary Clinton, and if Senator Obama's the nominee, and it sure looks like that's going to be the case, I will enthusiastically support him. But on the question you asked, support of Israel, you're not going to find much difference between Clinton, Obama, and McCain in rhetorical terms. They all support Israel. There will be a debate on Iran, and there is a clear difference between McCain and the two Democrats on Iran. He tends to emphasize the military option. The two Democrats, while saying they're not taking it off the table, have emphasized trying to reach out and see if there can be a dialogue with Iran.
Although I should say that you as a diplomat know the benefits and then the limitations to using diplomacy.
Well, absolutely. But I think that the Bush administration made a tremendous mistake talking to the Iranians through the European Union. Why didn't they just talk to him directly? The Iranians were ready to do that early on.
Although this is what President Bush seems to be calling appeasement, the idea of talking and holding back the threat of use of military. I just wonder, with Iran right now exerting an even stronger hand in terms of what's happening in the Middle East, in Iraq and also in Lebanon, if the options are going to be limited as Iran exerts its muscle even more.
You know, I haven't seen the speech, but no one should equate talking to people with appeasement. Talking is just talking. It depends what you say and how you say it and if it's backed up by credible power. It's what Bush did when he reversed himself on North Korea, and he made some progress after throwing away the first 5 years of his presidency. What's wrong with that in regard to Iran? And why, Lisa, why is that appeasement? Is that what the president said? I hope not.
Yeah, I mean, he said some seem to believe that we should negotiate with terrorists and radicals as if some ingenious argument will persuade them that they've been wrong all along. We have an obligation to call this what it is, the false comfort of appeasement, which has been repeatedly discredited by history.
Well, I would make a very sharp distinction between a non-state terrorist organization like Al-Qaeda, which you cannot talk with, and the Iranians, who are an odious group of people, but they are the leaders of a nation with a long culture and tradition, a member of the international community. It's clear from the quote you just read that it's deliberately vague, so let everybody can interpret it differently.
All right. Ambassador Holbrook, very nice to speak with you. Thank you.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
That's former U.S. Ambassador Richard Holbrook.